we are ready to begin on tonight. Amen. We're waiting for YOU to join us.
We certainly praise God for each of you, and we praise God for truly this is indeed the day that He's made, and we're determined to rejoice and be glad in it. Let us know even as you're logging on that you're getting a good signal tonight and that we're coming through. And we praise God for how He continues to bless us through this medium. And we're certainly excited that our faith is going to increase tonight, because the word of the Lord decrees and declares that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so we're excited about what is going to happen. And we believe that God is going to do something special in your situation. Of course, we are still in 1 Chronicles, and we're making our way to a rapid close of this book of 1 Chronicles. And we're going to be starting pretty soon in 2 Chronicles. Is that right, Lady Kim?
That's correct.
But tonight we're in the 28th chapter. Many of you probably had an opportunity to read it. We hope that you did. But if not, you'll follow along with us tonight. There are about 21 verses tonight. And Lady Kim instructed me that she was going to just read 10 verses and then come back to the latter 11 verses as we were preparing it before y'all came on. But we hope you've had a great day today, and we hope that you are enjoying all of what God is doing in your life. Let us know that you're getting a good signal. Somebody tell us the signal is clear and that you can hear us as we prepare for this time together tonight. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we bless you and we honor you, and we yet give you praise. We thank you for your Spirit's abiding presence, and we thank you for we realize and we're clear and confident that in you we do live, move, and have our being. And so now, God, even as we have gathered together through this medium tonight, we ask that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our redeemer. We pray for each person on this particular Bible study tonight, this virtual study. And God, we ask that everyone's lives will be enriched as a result of spending this time together. So we love you and we honor you, and we thank you for being our God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, and praise God.
Amen.
Well, look like all signals are clear, Lady Kim. Someone said the signal is clear, and so we thank God for those of you who are viewing. We had another powerful time in the Lord on yesterday, and Lady Kim, I moved on over to 2 Chronicles. God placed that word in my spirit. But it's a very familiar passage of scripture, and I talked about it's time to get back to God.
Yes, yes.
You
absolutely
want to share a little thing, a little bit of what was I about to say? A little thing about what you heard yesterday?
It's time to get back to God. It's a familiar passage of scripture for many of us, and I'm just going to skip down to the 14th verse where it says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land." That's the particular part that we all are, for most of us, are familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
But I like the latter part of that, verses 15 and 16, where it says, "Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to prayer made in this place. For now I have chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually."
Yeah.
So, you know, you had several points that you spoke on. First of all, that we must surrender. We must humble ourselves. We must seek the face of God. We must pray, and we must turn.
Okay.
So you hit or touched on all of those points on yesterday. And you know, we serve a God of relationships.
That's right.
A God
of
a covenant. You know, God is a covenant keeping God. He, as a matter of fact, he formed exactly 8 covenants with his people throughout the Bible. And so God is a relational God. So and it's time for us to get back to God.
Mm-hmm.
You were talking about the horrendous murders that took place in Texas on Saturday. They were talking about it on the news tonight. All over the land, all over the country, so many horrific things taking place, senseless murders, you know, several people at one time being taken out senselessly. And so we need to get back to God. It's time to turn back to God. And I think that particular part of the scripture is, my people, which are called by my name, will turn. Mm-hmm. So turning is an important factor. And then you said that, you know, when we see God or when we worship God, we need to bow down. Mm-hmm. And worship him. Bowing down is significant. You know, when we bow down, we show reverence to
That's
God.
That's right. That's right. You go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You talked about how we need to stay focused. Mm-hmm. Stay focused in this season. Not only this season, but all seasons. You know, it's easy for us to get off focus when we take our minds off what it is that God wants us to do, and we're distracted with a lot of other things. And, you know, our expectation needs to push us towards what God would have us to do.
Okay. You did a great job, Reverend. You were listening pretty close there yesterday. But no, that's great, because, you know, it's just so much happening. And when we see the people of God not really engaging themselves in what God would have us to do in order to combat some of the ills of our day, then it lets us know that it's time for us to get back to God. Because God wants to heal. He wants to bless. He wants to deliver. He wants to set us free. And many times we start running scared for no reason. But the main reason, I believe, is not because of what's happening around us, but because of what we're not actually doing as it relates to what God requires of us. And as you indicated, that 14th verse is so powerful. And that whole chapter is rich, because David was going through Solomon was going through a time with God in terms of him answering his prayers and him sealing some of the things that he had asked him to do, and affirming some things. And even though God had done so much for him, he said, Solomon, look, there's still so much more that my people need to do. And that's when he got into that 14th verse, my people who are called by my name, and that applies to us as well, will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, then turn from their wicked ways. Then he's going to release something in the atmosphere that was going to really tremendously bless all of us, because of the act that we as believers first put in motion for God's grace to cover. It's already there. God's grace is already there, but he wants to really do something special when he sees our hearts and how our behavior matches what we believe about God.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
good.
And go ahead.
And then one of the things you mentioned too is that God gives us direction.
That's
you know,
right.
Which way to go. And then he gives us instruction.
That's
and
right.
And instruction is how we get things done.
That's right. And so you have to follow the directions, and then you have to also follow the instructions. Is that right?
That's right.
You know, Lady Kim probably, she's going to smile here when I say this, and I should have brought it up yesterday, but one of our probably, I guess we've learned as a result of the time that we spent together, there are some things that we don't do together, and there are some things that we do together and we're good at. But one thing for sure is putting something together, like a lot of instructions, a lot of directions. I'm more of a look at the box, put it together, and then look over there and you see a big pile of stuff that needs to be added. And Lady Kim is the one that wants to make sure that you follow the instructions, that you look at it, but you follow the instructions and make sure you follow the directions. And so we just leave it, you know, and walk away from it, because that's not, we're not good at that. Is that, am I telling it right?
You're right. No, you walk away from it. I'm the one that, I'm the finisher when it comes to putting stuff like that together.
All right.
So, but you're absolutely right. We cannot put something together. Because we will be apart. Just like those pieces.
But we've grown since then, and we haven't tried to put that together for a minute. I might get something to just see where we are, see how far we've grown.
No, we haven't grown.
What do y'all think? What do y'all think? Listening on, you think we ought to put something together and see how far the Lord has brought us? Because it's been about 20 years, I know, at least. Since we tried to put something together.
It's been more than 20 years.
And so what do y'all think? You think, well, I'm going to get something and see if we can maybe work on a project.
I'm not going to even go there with you.
You're not going to go there?
No, I'm not going to even try.
I got something out there in the garage already.
I'm going to look at the box. I'm going to look at you. I'm going to look at the box, and I'm going in the other room.
Well, you just said you don't walk away. You just told us you don't walk away.
If you involved...
Oh, okay.
If you're involved, I'm walking away.
I see.
With both hands up.
All right. So you don't want to help me put this little project together? Is that what you're saying?
That's correct.
Okay. All right. Well, there was a Mother's Day situation, so I just put it back in. I just put it back where I got it from, since you don't want to help me with it.
Okay. Just give it to me.
I got to put it together.
Okay. Well, you putting it together by yourself.
I need
Let's
your
move
help.
On. The people came for Bible study. They don't want to hear this.
All right. So that's key, though. Working together is important, and understanding that God does give us instruction and direction.
So that's why the box is still in the garage.
I know, right? But it's a Mother's Day gift. That's why it's still in the garage. But I'll leave it in there. Since y'all taking sides now, but I'll leave it in there. That's all right. We just go to dinner and
call it a day.
That's right. No, all jokes aside, but that was one of the things that we early on really had some challenges with. But I'm interested to see how far we've grown with that. I do have something. It's not a Mother's Day gift, but I have something that would probably kind of test our fortitude and our will to work together.
So you in the testing season?
No. Just, I don't even know where this came from. Now I forgot what we're talking about.
God's instructions and directions.
That's right.
Yes.
And that's key. If we're going to be successful, we have to follow God's instruction and God's direction. And we have to make sure that our behavior matches our belief. And, you know, I made another statement, Lady Kim, that many people are looking for a break but not willing to be broken.
Mm.
You know, and so it is with what we go through when we're trying to get to where God is leading us. Sometimes the breakthrough happens when you're broken.
Mm.
And then I believe many times God puts us in predicaments to see how strong our faith is. And that's back to what we were talking about a few minutes ago. But I believe that happens a lot when people say one thing, but their actions don't line up with their behavior doesn't match their belief.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
All right. But tonight we're in the, any comments there, Lady Kim, that we need to touch on?
No, I don't see any.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, but tonight we're in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, 28th chapter of 1 Chronicles. There are 21 verses there, and this is an interesting chapter. We'll see here where David has really assembled all of the leaders and the witnesses of Israel, as well as the leadership of Israel, and they are preparing now for David's final charge to Solomon. It probably resembles a lot like a holy convocation, Lady Kim, because that's what I thought about when I was reading that, how all of the people came together and David was very direct in terms of what he wanted and how he was going to make this whole transition, this succession plan. This was really a succession plan in motion.
Mm-hmm.
And so he was making sure that all of the leaders and all of the heads of Israel were in attendance so that they can actually see the baton being passed.
Mm-hmm.
And so we find that taking place. And one of the things that, and Lady Kim is getting ready to read, one of the things that we'll see here is that David didn't lose sight of the larger picture, even though he realized that he was not the one who was going to build the temple. And he found out early on, but he could have really become frustrated with that whole process. And he could have tried to thaw the hand of God in terms of what God was trying to accomplish. But he didn't allow his own insecurities to get in the way of what God's ultimate plan was for the people of God.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So let's pick it up and let's see where we land. We'll read the first 10 verses of 1 Chronicles 28.
Okay. Now David assembled at Jerusalem all of the leaders of Israel, the officers of the tribes, and the captains of the divisions who served the king, and captains over thousands, and captains over hundreds, and the stewards over all the substance and possessions of the kings and of his sons, with the officials and the valiant men and all the mighty men of valor. Then King David rose to his feet and said, "Hear me, my brethren and my people. I had it in my heart to build a house for the rest of build a house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God, and had made preparations to build it. But God said to me, 'You shall not build my house for my name, because you have been a man of war and have shed blood.' However, the Lord God of Israel chose me above all the house of my father to be king over Israel forever. For he has chosen Judah to be the ruler, and of the house of Judah, the house of my father, and among the sons of my father. He was pleased with me to make me king over all Israel. And of all my sons, for the Lord has given me many sons, he has chosen my son Solomon to sit on the throne of the kingdom of the Lord over Israel. Now he said to me, 'It is your son Solomon who shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever if he is steadfast to observe my commandments and my judgments as it is this day. Now, therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the assembly of the Lord, and in the hearing of our God, be careful to seek out all the commandments of the Lord your God, that you may possess this good land and leave it as an inheritance for your children after you forever. As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intents of the thoughts. If you seek him, you will be found. He will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it."
Okay. So that's the first 10 verses of 1 Chronicles 28. And we see how David is really on display in front of all of the leaders of Israel and making sure that they understand, as I indicated earlier, this whole succession plan in motion. And he's making sure that everyone has buy-in and they understand how God is moving at this time.
Amen.
What do you see there, Lady Kim?
Yes. And so, you know, David is very specific that God has chosen or selected or elected his son Solomon. David had a lot of sons. He had a lot of children. But he, again, was specific about how God had selected Solomon, and that he wasn't chosen because he was a man of war and had blood on his hands. But David stood before all the people and let all the people know exactly what thus said the Lord.
Okay. And, you know, as I was thinking about that, and one of the commentaries said that they had a perfect model in seeing how Moses and Joshua handled their succession, if you will, and how this probably was in the mind of David as he was getting ready to observe the things that God had required of him. And the other thing, he was really making sure that he didn't mix what he was, his own personal will versus what God had already prescribed for him to share with his son. And he did not try to put his little twist on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes when God gives us a word, and many times when we don't see ourselves in that, and it's for somebody else, we'll try to incorporate our own little piece in there to get some kind of glory or some kind of credit for it. But David, I really admire how he accepted this responsibility of passing the baton and was willing to release that that authority that he had received from God and instruction from God, and passed it on to his son without diluting the whole process.
Amen.
Yeah.
You know, it reminds me of, you know, when people get ready to retire, some of my friends that have retired say, you know, when it's your time to go.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you leave the situation better than when you came.
Okay.
And I think this is how what David was doing. He knew that his time was about up. And so he wanted to make sure things were done in decency and in order, and to leave things in the better shape than which he had come. And God had blessed David tremendously.
Absolutely.
But as we know Solomon is going to be even more richly blessed because of his obedience to God. And David tells him in this chapter that he needs to be obedient to God, and because of his obedience, that God would richly bless him.
That's right. That's right. And I think that 9th and 10th verse really kind of brought clarity to that, where he was emphasizing the fact that David needed to really seek the Lord, and he really needed to be obedient, and he needs to take heed, for the Lord had chosen him to build the house, and he was encouraging him as well to be strong and do exactly what God required of him to do.
Absolutely.
And so he was laying a strong foundation for him. And we already had talked about in the other chapters about how David had already aligned all of the leaders and all of the skilled workers and all of the musicians, all of the ones who would serve in the temple, all of the ones who had responsibility. He had already assembled all of that, because Solomon was relatively young at this time and inexperienced, but David surrounded him with mature leaders and those who were willing to stay in their lane and do what was required of them, and those who were really willing to release vision and anointing into Solomon so that he would be successful.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's part of what you were talking about earlier. Sometimes when people leave a situation the wrong way, or they leave it in anger and bitterness, then they carry with them all of the knowledge and all of the understanding that they could very easily impart into someone else's life and make the situation much better, and not try to make things worse. And so that people will struggle, and that's when you put your hand in the midst of it. But no, you need to leave the situation better than it was when you came. And I think this is what David is clear on, and he's clear in terms of his instruction and direction from God.
Amen. And, you know, several places in the Bible talk about wise counsel. And Proverbs 15 and 22 says, without consultation, plans are frustrated, but with many counselors, they succeed. Mm-hmm. So David surrounded Solomon with wise counsel, with many counselors to help him to succeed. And also in Exodus 18 and 19, it says, now listen to me. I will give you counsel and God will be with you. You will be the people's representative before God, and you bring the disputes to God. This was in essence talking about Moses, you know, and the people bringing disputes before him. But it also can transfer over to David and Solomon, you know, that he would give, David set Solomon up with wise counsel that God's plan could continue to go forward. So that speaks to us also that we need to surround ourselves with wise counsel. First, we need to go to God in prayer and seek God's guidance and his counsel. But it's always wise to surround ourselves with people of wise counsel.
That's true. That's true. And so it's a pattern here that's set in motion. And so I think we can take some of that and make it applicable to our situations. It's not necessarily even in the church, but that's in general in our lives as believers, how we need, we don't need a lot of people that's going to agree with us or yes people, but we need people of sound, wise counsel and wisdom that will help pour into us and help bring clarity to the situation. And so it takes a strong leader in order to accept that kind of leadership. And it also takes strong followers to understand that whole process. Because if not, if it gets diluted, then it becomes frustrating. And then the enemy will come in and try to take advantage of that kind of situation. And if people are not seeking the face of God, like you said, with David, and making sure that they are, first of all, hearing from God, and then getting confirmation from the people that God has surrounded them with. And so in this situation, as you just indicated, they were mature leaders, they were wise men and counselors, counsel. And so that was very important for Solomon, because he was getting ready to take on a massive responsibility in terms of the temple and what it, all of the things that were going to happen and take place. That looks like Sister Lena on the call. Good to see. Well, we can't see you, but glad you're on the call tonight, Sister Lena. And do you see any comments there, Lady Kim?
No, no comments yet.
Okay. All right. What is that about the box? Oh, that was what we were talking about earlier. Okay. All right. Well, let's move down then to, we're moving quickly here. Let's move down through First Chronicles 28, starting at verse number 11. And we'll see coming out here as Lady Kim prepares to read. There are only 21 verses here that he's still executing the plan, putting people in motion. And we see some of the structural things begin to come into play here, and the importance and the significance of how people have specific assignments and responsibilities. And so that's so key as it relates to us today. We talk about staying in your lane, but people really need to understand that and get a sense of that, because that's what helps things to go forward. And many times people get in God's way, or, you know, throw things off track when they start moving all over the place.
Amen. All right. We're in First Chronicles, the 28th chapter, beginning with the 11th verse. Then David gave his son Solomon the plans for the vestibule, its houses, its treasuries, its upper chambers, its inner chambers, and the place of the mercy seat, and the plans for all that he had by the Spirit. And of course, and of the courts of the house of the Lord, of all the chambers all around, and the treasuries of the house of God, and of the treasuries for the dedicated things. Also for the divisions of the priests and the Levites, for all the work of the service of the house of the Lord, and for all the articles of service in the house of the Lord. He gave gold by weight for the things of gold, for all articles used in every kind of service. Also silver for all articles of silver by weight, for all articles used in every kind of service. The weight for the lampstands of gold and their lamps of gold, by weight for each lampstand and its lamps, for the lampstands of silver by weight, and for the lampstands and its lamps, according to the use of each lampstand. And by weight he gave gold for the tables of the showbread, for each table, and silver for the tables of silver. Also pure gold for the forks and the basins, the pitchers of pure gold, and the golden bowls. He gave gold by weight for every bowl, and for the silver bowls, silver by weight for every bowl, and refined gold by weight for the altar of incense, and for the construction of the chariot, that is, the gold cherubim that spread their wings and overshadowed the ark of the covenant of the Lord. All this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me all the works of these plans. And David said to his son Solomon, be strong and of good courage, and do it. Do not fear nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, my God, will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you until you have finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. Here are the divisions of the priests and the Levites for all the service of the house of God, and every willing craftsman will be with you for all manner of workmanship, for every kind of service. Also the leaders and all the people will be completely at your command.
Wow, that's powerful, isn't it? And so it just continues with what we already started to talk about, how when we follow God's plan and God's direction and we do things accordingly, then we can expect good success. Mm-hmm. And so Solomon is relatively young. Mm-hmm. He's taking on full responsibility now. And David is releasing the mantle in front of all of the leaders of Israel. And everyone is getting a clear signal in terms of what their responsibility will be in terms of carrying out their assignments as it relates to this massive temple that was being built, or probably already pretty much there by now. And so it was key for them to see David actually in agreement and not trying to, put himself in a position where it was his agenda versus God's will.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Amen. There was a comment by Sister Loretta that says succession planning is key to keep moving forward, even in church.
That's true. That's mm-hmm. true.
Amen.
And so it's like we talked about earlier, I think David had a clear picture of seeing how a successful succession plan works when he saw what happened with Moses and Joshua through the written script. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's what really makes it successful, is for an example to be present that will really match what you're trying to accomplish. Mm-hmm. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. But I absolutely agree with that at 100%. All right, so what else do we see here, Lady Kim, as relates to these latter few verses, 11 through 21, that you just shared? Is there something else that jumped off to the page for you and terms of what God was saying here.
Mm-hmm. That David left nothing to question.
Okay.
You know that everything, he had a blueprint for everything.
That's good.
The porches, how the porches were going to be set up, the room sizes, what the rooms were going to be, how they were going to look. And God gave David how things should be set up. And then David relayed that to Solomon and to the craftsmen, and even down to the weight of the gold that should be in all of the things that were being made, all of the bowls, all of the vessels,
the treasury, the storehouse
that were going to be
holy
used,
furniture, everything.
Even for the box for the Ark of the Covenant, you know, with the cherubims, the candlesticks and the lampstands, all of those had specific, and he gave specific instructions on how much gold should be in each one of those things and how they should look and where they should go.
Okay. So how does that relate to us even today? Because I think we have to make this word live for us just as it lived back then in terms of, we've talked a little bit about the succession plan, but we have to make sure that the instruction, the direction, the understanding of the importance of the responsibility, and it's key, and it's not just one person or two people or even three or four who are carrying the buck of the responsibility. And a lot of times people don't want to take on responsibility, but they are glad to rejoice when the victories happen in the life of the church. But that whole rule, I think we talked about it back a while ago, about the 20-80 or something like that, how 20% of the people do all of the work and even all of the giving, and the 80% really just kind of shuffle their feet a little bit, and they're not really fully engaged. Mm-hmm. Am I saying that correctly?
That's correct. That's actually called Pepito's Law.
Okay.
Pepito, a statistician, came up with that law by measuring things.
Okay.
And that 80%, there's an 80-20 rule. So it's an actual rule. I thought somebody kind of just made that up, but it's an actual law. So a mathematical equation, rather.
Okay.
And so one of the things I was thinking about is that David left nothing to chance.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everything was spelled out.
Right.
You know, he didn't say make some candles and, you know, candlesticks for the house of worship. He said, make some candlesticks out of gold, and this is how much gold
very
you should
specific
use in each candlestick.
Mm-hmm.
And so nothing was left to chance.
Okay.
And so that's how it should be when we are leading people. We have to be very specific so nothing is left to chance.
Okay.
And so that the work of God can go forth.
That's good. I was thinking about how we set some things in motion in terms of how to get things done, even at ATOP, and how a lot of times people just think it just happens. You know, they come in on Sunday and see everything in place, but no, it's a lot that goes into that. It doesn't just happen. And people have to carry their particular corner, if you will, be responsible for what they have assignment to. And sometimes if people don't have vision and mission, understand process and protocol in their own lives, it makes it very difficult for them to get a sense of that and understand how important that is in order for things to happen in the life of the church. And many times people say, I'm very particular about the way things are run at ATOP, and I'm listening to God and getting clear instruction and direction, and so we're making sure that it's done decently and in order, and we serve an excellent God, and I think God wants us to serve him in excellence, and that we don't just have haphazardly do something and last minute processing and putting things together and not give the kind of time and commitment that's important for it to be pleasing in God's eyesight. Mm-hmm. And so that's just the way I am. It might be old school to some, but I think people get a sense of how important that is when they go and see just the opposite of what we're trying to instill in terms of process and protocol, mm-hmm. and how people have to go through a process. You just don't pop up and do something. No, it's a process. And sometimes people don't want to do that. And I believe it has a direct tie to the fact that it's not something that they have done personally in their own lives and not gotten a clear understanding, just like with our Institute for Leadership Training. That's all what that's all about, and making sure that we identify how important it is for us to operate with a spirit of excellence in the house of God, and how our leaders should be on point and not be looking around trying at the last minute to figure out what to do. No, we've already gone over that. We had meetings, we had workshops, institutes, and all of that, and modules, and 16 weeks. How many weeks was it? 12 weeks. And praise God, we're getting ready to have another one coming up soon. And I believe it's going to be bigger than the one that we had the first go round, Lady Kim. Because we have some anxious people who are willing to get involved, but we want to make sure that they understand that there's a process and there's protocol. And if we get that in our spirits, and they'll be a much better leader, and they will have people who will eagerly follow them because they will see that that's in place.
Amen. It's 16 weeks with the workshop.
That's what I thought. 16. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Dr. Butler.
So that's important. And so sometimes you'll find out where people's commitment is and whether or not, you know, it used to be a time people just run up and say, I've been called to ministry. And in the next couple of weeks, they'd be trying to preach and they haven't had any kind of training or instruction. Is your thing going off and you sitting down?
Yes, it is.
All right. That's the way I'm talking about. And so, but no, we want to make sure, and it's about helping people grow and helping people mature. And many times when people find themselves in a situation where, you know, we'll be willing to learn everything we can for our job, but when it comes to the house of the Lord, we like, yeah, ain't nobody got time for that. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so it's just as important, more so when it comes to what we do for God. And it bleeds over into what you do in the natural, and even on your job, because the vertical relationship feeds the horizontal Amen. Relationships every That's time.
Right. Absolutely.
All right. Who is that? What did somebody say?
No, Qualies.
What was that?
I guess she was making reference to my Fitbit going off.
Oh, okay. It's a Fitbit now, huh?
Oh, my watch, whatever it is.
But that was interesting. All right. So, it's a couple of lessons here, Lady Kim, and we've pretty much covered them. Do we see any comments there in the comment box?
No.
I know Dr. Butler and Dr. Qualies both agreed with that whole process, and I hope those who are listening tonight and you're considering being involved in leadership at ATOP, that you really sign up for this next Institute for Leadership Training, because it's going to empower you, and the church is going to be stronger as a result of your willingness to align with the vision and the mission of the house.
Amen.
And God's going to get the glory. But I think in this 28th chapter, it's a good model for us, even in leadership, to understand how important that is. But one of the things that I see here is that with David, he was always seeking God's approval before the task, and not after he had started it and messed up or things didn't go the way they should.
That's good.
And then go back and try to consult with God. But that's what Matthew 6:33 is all about, mm-hmm. seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. and all of these other things shall be added unto us. Don't do the other things first before you seek God, yeah, right?
That's right.
Okay.
Yes. That seeking God first is absolutely the right step to take first. Like you said, we do a lot of things, and then once we mess up, we turn around and want to consult God. Mm-hmm. But if we seek God first, then everything else will fall in place.
Okay. Look like Dr. Qualis is putting the information on there for the link in terms of how to register for the institute. Mm-hmm. Is that what that is?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, you can go ahead and start pulling your prayer requests together. We're way ahead of our time tonight, and we're open to entertain any questions if you have those as we are getting ready to wrap it up tonight. But this is really almost about to come to a close of this First Chronicles. I think there's one more chapter left. That's chapter 29. Is that right?
I believe so.
And then after that, we're going to move right into Second Chronicles and begin to see what lies ahead there. So you have an opportunity to go ahead and read ahead if you want to. But the 29th chapter on next week, and then we'll be around June, we'll be getting ready to go into Second Chronicles and deal with what God is saying in Second Chronicles as well.
Amen.
How many chapters is it?
29.
Uh-huh. 29. Uh-huh. That's what I thought. Okay. All right. So any prayer requests that anyone have or any questions? Dr. Qualis has put the information there. If you're praying and you didn't get a chance to go through the first institute, we really encourage in all of our leaders, all of those who are potential leaders, all of those who are
want to know more.
Yeah, it'll be quite helpful to you, helping you to discern the voice of God. We'll be going through a process of gift assessment, and that always is
eye-opener
mm-hmm. for a lot of people, because once you finish that, it kind of gives you clarity and direction, and it points you in the right way in which you should be going with your gifts and with your skill set. And many times people may not be even operating in the place where God would have them.
That's right.
They're on the bus, but they're in the wrong seat. And so we want to make sure you're in the right seat and that you're being effective in what you're doing. It's all the way from what happens when the lights go on, till the lights go off and the doors are locked.
Amen.
And when people are coming in, I see Brother Andrew on there, excellent greeter. And he operates in excellence, and he understands that. But it'd be good if the time permits for you to go through that process, because it will help enhance what you already know. And then you will hear other people share expressions about some things that perhaps we just kind of take for granted and not really fully digest ourselves.
Amen.
Yeah. Okay.
Sister Lena Jackson is asking for prayer.
Okay, all right. Anyone else? Prayer? Questions? We're getting ready to wrap it up. We're going to close out a little early tonight. What do we have on the events calendar that's coming up, Lady Kim?
Of course, this coming Saturday, we have our leadership our monthly leadership meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And so this month is for all our ministers, spiritual officers, ministry leaders, and ministry volunteers.
That's right.
Any board members and, you know, they're involved.
Committee
members. This meeting is for you. So we will see you Saturday morning at 10 o'clock a.m.
We really need you to be present. And if you haven't been a part of any of the leadership meetings, it's important. It's almost like a huddle where we come together and we talk about what lies ahead and what we've accomplished and how we can improve on what we're trying to do. And then you will have a firsthand knowledge about what we're getting ready to do. And you won't have to wait till you hear it. Sometimes people don't hear the announcements. Many times people don't really see the video announcements. But we want to make sure that all of our leaders, all of those who are serving as volunteers, are well aware of the direction of the house, and so you could be on point in terms of your service. Isn't that right?
Amen.
Because someone might just very, very easily come and ask you a question, and you're serving, but you are not participating in any of the leadership meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to make sure that happens for everybody.
Mm-hmm. And then this coming Sunday is a very special Sunday. It's Mother's Day. And so we're going to celebrate all mothers and mother figures and mentors. There are a lot of ladies that are mother figures, you know. They don't have children. You know, we don't want to leave them out. You know, they're significant also. So all mothers and mother figures, we're going to honor you on this Sunday. Come a little bit early. Come to Sunday school at 8:30. We're going to have muffins with moms and mentors. So be ready to enjoy a good word and some good eating. Amen.
Yeah, that's right.
And
that's
then right. We're going to have muffins for the men too. So,
oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
But muffins for moms and mentors. So the young people, bring your moms and grandmas and aunties and
come to Sunday school.
Come to Sunday school.
That's right.
We'll be
that's
looking
right.
for you.
Sunday school is really growing, and I praise God. I've said it before, but there needs to be repeated again how we have some excellent teachers at ATOP, and we have a powerful Sunday school from top to bottom. And it's growing by leaps and bounds. And we really want you to be engaged and be a part of that. And we are certainly grateful for all of our leaders who take the lead in teaching. And also this Sunday, Lady Kim will be bringing the word. And so we know that it's going to be a powerful time. She's already kind of given me a hint of something that the Lord had dropped in her spirit. But that could change between now and Sunday, so I'm not going to say anything.
But, yes, it can.
But you know that when Lady Kim preaches, that it's a powerful word, a powerful anointing. And then we will have our Queens Nursing Home outreach as well on next Sunday. And I believe Minister Shotwell is going to be the one who's preaching there. Is that right?
That's right. And the culinary ministry is the supporting ministry.
Okay, okay.
So
Dr. Qualis put that in there.
Yes.
Okay.
So we're looking forward to that also. Also for Mother's Day, we're going to have a photo booth, photo shoot time. So get there early, and then please be patient and stay a little, hang around a little bit and fellowship, so you can have your picture taken with your children or with your grandchildren or with your family. This is for mothers and mentors to take advantage of the pictures.
All right. I'm excited about that. That sounds like it's going to be a winner.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Any prayer requests, anything we need to be mindful of?
Several prayer requests. Sister Mary Liggins is asking for prayers for her health. We're going to continue to pray for Sister Lena Jackson. She asked for continued prayers. Brother James Shotwell is still at Regional 1. We're lifting him up. Sister Lurleen Goodlow as she recovers. Sister Sherry Frazier and Sister Erin Jethro were both in car accidents.
Yeah.
So we want to lift them up for their healing. Someone asked for prayers for Shakora Tate family and the loss of that mother. So we're going to lift the Tate family up in prayer also.
Okay, okay. All right. Well, we know this is going to be a powerful week before us, and we're going to close in grand fashion on next Sunday with a powerful word. And so we're asking that we all be in attendance and on point. And then invite, if you invite at least five people, you'd be surprised. Five might show up, but we hope that the house will be full on Sunday as we celebrate and as we honor mothers and as we continue to give God praise.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen. Let us go to God in prayer. Precious Jesus, we bow our heads to your great earth. But God, we lift up our hearts, our minds, and our voices to thee. We ask, God, that you would look upon us today, God, that you would provide all of our need according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We thank you, oh God, for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you will do. We ask special blessings upon those who have asked for prayer on tonight. We ask for healing, power, and virtue from your great hand to go forth for Sister Mary Liggins, Sister Lena Jackson, Brother James Shotwell, Sister Lurleen Goodlow, Sherry Frazier, Sister Erin Jethro. And God, we ask that you would comfort all the bereaved families, God, especially the family of Shakora Tate. We ask, God, that you would continue to lead us and guide us and keep us, oh God. And God, we ask that you would bless as we get ready to minister to your people at Quince Nursing Home on Sunday. Give us a word, oh God, and a comforting touch for your people on next Sunday, oh God. And then, God, we ask that your grace and mercy be on our worship service, that you would touch every mother, every mentor, every member, oh God. And we ask, oh God, that you would continue to watch over and keep us until we meet again. It's in the name of Jesus that we give thanks and praise. And the people of God said amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. And praise God. Thank you, Lady Kim, for that powerful prayer. We hope you have a fantastic rest of the evening. And I believe Lady Kim has one more prayer request. But just as David assured Solomon that the Lord would help him and that the men and the materials were prepared, so it is with us. We need to know beyond the shadow of a doubt that the Lord will help us and that God will surround us with what's needed in order to fulfill what he has assigned for us to do.
Amen. This is also Nurses Week, so we thank God for all the nurses as we celebrate Nurses and Hospital Week.
Okay.
And it's also, Teacher Appreciation Week also. So to God be the glory. We're gonna recognize teachers,
educators.
Amen, yeah. Educators later on in the month. But we appreciate each and every one of you. Happy Nurses Week and happy Teacher Appreciation Week. See you next time. Love you guys. Bye-bye.
Be blessed.